expect that to happen.
Hey, we didn't expect that to happen. I guess the computer automatically turns things off, Jim. I think that's what happens. Now we know. Well, welcome to a few seconds of silence on the radio, my listener. And I think I can say my listener. I think I've got one out there. What's up, Kay? How you doing? Get ready for 27 minutes of stuff that's could be considered slightly offensive, a bit hairy, but all real life, baby. Here we go. Okay, good old technical difficulties. Things going great so far. Here we go. This is really happening now.
From supermarkets, Duane Reade's, places like that, chain stores. I don't take anything from actual people. Food, groceries, toothpaste, things I need, you know? Not electronics or anything. I carry half-empty bags around the supermarket, or I wear multiple jackets, so there's multiple pockets to put stuff in. If I want lunch, I walk into a Starbucks and stand in line and stick a sandwich in each pocket. Then I go to the counter and buy an apple juice that costs like $2. It means I could get better stuff, more expensive stuff, what I couldn't usually afford. Like, you know, those seaweed smoothie drinks from Whole Foods that cost $10 for a little bottle? Well, I get to be like rich people and drink those.
They say the world is spinning around. I see that it's upside down. Walking down the street, looking from behind.
That's not what a Rastafarian is. He gave me half a bag of weed. I went and I rolled a joint by myself, came back, he gave me a cigarette, then he gave me another cigarette. I waited about an hour and a half. I went to the other side of the park, smoked the other joint. Then it got a little inclement out. I don't recall whether it got cool or it was going to start to rain. I went into the metro station. I met this gorgeous, light-skinned black girl. She wasn't a girl. She was mature. She was about 38 years old. Gorgeous dress and everything. She gave me two big buds like that. They were solid. That's how sticky they were.
They say the world is spinning around, but I see that it's upside down. They say the world is spinning around. I see that it's upside down.
There's nobody in here. She rolled another joint and smoked it on the subway. We let go.
Yeah, so I was in the liquor store, and a guy came in, and apparently there's these new bills. There's a new $100 bill. It's like they're blue or something, and they've got like
a new.
They look a little European. They've got a sort of a strip in them. Yeah. I've never heard anything about it, but
no, I've never heard anything.
There it was,
about that.
And he was like, yeah, yo. I'm the first. You've never seen that before, right? You've never seen that before. Yeah, you better hang that shit on the wall. That's right. I'm the first in here with that shit. You know, like...
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'd never heard of it. No one had ever seen it. And then he left and I was like, ugh, why didn't I get that fucking on record?
Yeah.
Ugh. Right?
Yeah.
So then I just put on my ear headphones and put on record and... You know, end up recording my interaction with the guy behind the glass, talking me into getting a more expensive bottle of James.
What's that? You
wanted me to get that size of Jameson's, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, okay. Okay, alright. Okay, I'll get the bigger size.
I used to live in Alexander on 141st Street, right up from the precinct back in 2000. I was in a bullshit halfway house. I didn't like it. I stayed 2 weeks. Too many fucking questions. They had a microwave with no stove. You went to a program where they fed you out a fucking methadone program, which I didn't take, but they still had me going there. I didn't take the meth. They fed you 2 meals a day off of the Meals on Wheels truck. And you went back to the house and there was nothing to eat. If you had food stamps, there was nowhere to cook nothing because they didn't have a stove. The kitchen was clean. But you had a little bullshit microwave like that and a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. And I had to sleep in the top bunk with a Dominican guy. I sold him my psych meds. He probably got $80 for the bottle of pills. Lousy motherfucker only gave me $10. I went out and bought a bag of weed. I used to eat a Crown Chicken all the time. You could get chicken wings, french fries, and a Coke for $4. I used to live on chicken wings. Oh, boy. What a world we live in. You know what's fucked up about New York? There's no more middle class. You're either rich or you're poor. Mm. Yeah, I'm poor. But I make about $350 a week panhandling. About maybe $70 a day. I spend $20 a damn pot. That's $140 a week. I get the best weed. I don't get any of that treated shit. I've been buying off the same people since 2002. If you want to take it back up to Harlem, I've been buying weed up there since 2001. I drove a taxi in Long Island for 22 years before I came here. I was a Liberty cab driver in Nassau and Suffolk County. Did a lot of driving, a lot of getting stoned with my boombox, riding around, picking up people. You give them a cheap ride. You give them a ride from the house to the train tracks for $3. You talk to them and you make a connection for coke. Yeah, it's really cool out there. I used to do a lot of cocaine. I used to smoke a lot of crack. Oh, my God. 20 years I smoked crack. I used to go to all the shopping centers, get surround sound TVs, stereo systems, CD players, all kinds of shit out there. You don't watch white people when you go to the malls because they're all white. They're not looking for you. They're looking for all the black people who fucked up everything. It's easy. I always had my Walkman, had my weed. What the fuck is he doing with that phone? He's looking so far at it. Look at the way he's looking at his phone.
Taking a photo.
Yeah, he's mesmerized by the picture.
The next Uptown 6.
People in New York are fixated on cell phones. They are, they're fixated.
World over, man.
Huh?
Everywhere in the world they're fixated by
cell phones. You think so?
I know so.
You've been all over the world? Where you been? Tell me where you've been.
Before here I was living in Korea.
Korea? Yeah, Koreans are cool. Koreans are cool. Yeah, I met some Korean girls in the park the other night. Yeah, they're nice. Yeah, they're all over the fucking place. So that's because you connect to the internet. You go everywhere now, you get 3 services for $29 a piece. You get a cell phone, you get TV, and you get the internet. So 30, 30, 30. Under $100 a day, you get a phone. $100 a month, it does everything. Mm. It only costs you $100. It's not hard. They got it down to a science. Electronics has got everything locked down. It's all locked down in electronics. Everything you do is electronic. Everywhere you go, there's cameras. But do you know, in these fucking Dwayne Reeds and shit, they are so satisfied with their cameras. They think they do everything. I go in there and walk out with all the razors, all the electric clippers, all the Norelco razors. They don't watch you. I'll put it on the side of my shirt and walk out and transfer it to my belly when I walk out the door and walk out with it.
Had an excuse ready for my roommates for why I had all this expensive food since I was really poor. They never asked.
What was the excuse?
I think it was that I had a friend working at the supermarket who gave me a discount or something.
And why do you do it? Are you, is it because you're really poor, or you're a kleptomaniac, or what?
I kind of don't know now. Maybe as a bit of a fuck you society. At first, yes, because I was poor, like, seriously poor. Like, poverty poor. But now I'm not always that down and out. Maybe it's just I'm used to getting things free.
But what about all the cameras around places that I see?
Well,
aren't you afraid of them?
I should be very afraid of them. So the thing is, actually, this is a horrible thing to say.
What?
Well, I have one serious factor on my side.
What factor is that?
You know, I'll give you one guess.
I don't know.
It's because I'm white. It's not good, but it's true. I'm white, and I look normal, and I'm not homeless or druggy. They don't look at me. Now, black and brown people, they watch them like hawks. But a young whitey, it's awful, but that's how it is. A couple of times, I've seen black people, other customers, see me stick something in my pocket. And they just shake their heads like they can't believe it. Like they knew all along. See? It's those white people.
Everything is possible, and yet nothing is. All is permitted, and yet, again, nothing. No matter which way we go, it is no better than any other. There is an explanation for everything, and yet there is none. Everything is both real and unreal, normal and absurd, simple and insipid. There is nothing worth more than something else, nor any idea better than another. All gain is a loss, and all loss is a gain. Why always expect a definite stance, clear ideas, meaningful words? I feel as if I should spout fire in response to all the questions which were ever put or not put to me.
May I stay for more than one day?
Basil, you can stay as long as you like.
Oh!
Feel your body sustain.
Ever and ever,
become familiar with your body.
See if you can notice how the rhythm of breathing impacts the body. Does your body move and expand and contract?
Really? The world is full of women. Come on, tell me. You've got to know that grim writing message, but engaged with grief and loss. I have not exactly emerged, but found a way of living on. It's an entirely changed life for anyone who's been in a long period of 21 years. Alone in bed, alone most of the time, without that presence towards which you turn for advice, reassurance, with whom you've shared the good news and the bad.
For this time,
every decision you make, you
let go of the responsibility of the good inside. You imagine that you're shelving your school.
A guy who's hanging by the doorway says, "Hey man, I'm sorry to bother you, but you know, I'm trying to get some change, anything, get something to eat." I'm like, yeah, cool, you know, I've got a dollar. Mm-hmm. And I came and I gave him a dollar and I said, you know, there you go. He's like, "Oh, thanks, man." I'm like, "That's cool. I'm wasting my money on booze anyway." And he said, "Oh, no, that's good. Oh, by the way, I got this, and he had this plastic bag, like this, you know, black plastic bag. He said, I got these, you know, like I'm trying to sell, whatever. And I looked in, and it was like 10 porn DVDs, right?
Wow.
You know, like, with names like Anal Time and whatever.
Anal Time.
Yeah. And it's always time for Anal Time. Anyway, so I said, you know, believe it or not, I don't know, you're not going to believe this, man, but I don't really, I really try not to watch porn. And he's like, what? And he said, man, I could get paid to be a porn star. I'd be like, okay, well, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. Getting paid, mm-hmm. But yeah, he's like, why? I said, you know, I just don't think it's that great for society, you know. And he's like, oh yeah, okay. He called me Kenny. I don't know if Kenny's like, he's like, all right, Kenny.
And this was being recorded.
Yeah, so this is all recorded. And then he was like, yeah, man, I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to get a meal out here and try to do it right. And I'm like, yeah, cool, man. Well, good luck with that. And I was like, he's like, yeah, thanks, man. I'm like, cool. I left, and I was like, oh, yes, you know? That's the kind of thing I'm looking for. I've got that on thing, right? Yeah. And so then I instantly put it on and listened to it while I was walking back. And, of course, you know, the realization that this is what I'm leading up to, the realization that it's all right, but it ain't great.
The thing that you just recorded.
Yeah, it ain't great.
Yeah.
Because now you've got to start thinking of everything like, is this, if I wanted to listen to this, how would I feel about listening to this?
So you never had Bullet Bourbon, right? You never had Bullet? Do you know Bullet Bourbon? I got a dollar, man.
No, bless you. Anything I add up to a meal, thank you.
Cool, no worries, bro. I'm wasting my money on booze, so, you know,
look,
fair enough.
Matter of fact, look, this is what I'm talking about. They're brand new, basically, dude. And I got a whole bunch of them, dude. They're in good condition, all of them. I mean, I got some good-ass ones, bro. Like,
shit. You know what? I know you won't believe this, but I try not to watch porn.
Are you for real, dude?
Yeah, man. I think it's just not good for just fucking society, basically.
I mean, yeah, you're right, though, but it's the best job in the world. If I could be paid for having...
Oh, sure. Yeah, but that's a different scene.
But I'm on the streets, dude. You know, someone just gave these to them, and they just said... And they're like, look, they're in, like, brand new condition, I think.
Sure, man, but you got a lot of competition there with the internet, you know?
I know, and they're free. That's why nobody even really want them.
Yeah.
But look, they're all brand new, B. They're all like that. They're not... No scratches on them, man. Good condition, you know?
Oh, man. Good luck with them, man.
Thank you, man.
You definitely asked the wrong dude.
It's okay, kid. You from, like, Europe?
New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm going to stay here. I'm just trying to get a meal. Can you help?
Yeah, man. Thank you. I understand.
That's what's up. You help me?
Peace out.
I almost get up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to hustle. You said 5-10 hours. I'm good. Thank you.
All right, man. That's good luck with those, too.
You too, man.
I hate wise men because they are lazy, cowardly, and prudent. So much more complex is the man who suffers from limitless anxiety. The wise man's life is empty and sterile, for it is free from contradiction and despair. An existence of irreconcilable contradiction is so much richer and creative.
There's no sweat off our backs if she don't mind giving you a piece of pussy for $10. They don't give a shit. Hey, what's up?
What's up?
It's all good. It's all good. So, you know, it's comfortable up there. I like it up there. No, I have no problem with that. I've been running the streets for 42 years, 46 years. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, I had 14 girls working for me. I was a pimp. I sold every fucking drug you could think of. Back in 1980, I was making $1,500 a week selling loose joints, 6 joints for $5. My rent was $55 a week. I had a 19-inch color TV. An eight track with a 33-inch turntable, 4 speakers, about 100 albums, 108 tracks, a microwave, a refrigerator, all my clothing, a double bed, my girlfriend. She worked a regular 9-to-5, turned tricks on the side. One of her
Trix was a pharmacist. She used to get me all these ups. I had all the fucking amphetamine you wanted. All the fucking... You can't get cocaine from a pharmacy. I had all the fucking pills. Oh, my God. It was crazy. I used to sell tar, opium, crystal meth, acid, mushrooms, opium, Valium, black
beans. Ladies and gentlemen,
697, 698,
Quaaludes. Ah,
shut up.
Do not display cell phones or other electronic devices.
You know how many people use their phones around here? You can use a phone down here. I play my radio down here. I sit down here and get stoned at night by myself. I sold it. I go in and take a radio every day. You go into Best Buy. You know they still have Walkmans in Best Buy with the fucking tape player in it. It also has an 83-channel TV, a weather channel, a bass boost. Oh, man, they still got all that shit. That shit didn't go away. They still sell them. They don't give a fuck. I think they know people walk out with them. They don't watch, man. Going in, whoop, I just don't have my jacket. I put the shit in my jacket. I went to Dwayne Reed down on 23rd Street. I got a cell phone the other day. Sold for $10, got a bag of weed. I got three TVs out of PC Richard so far. You know the $300 19-inch ones? Sold for $100 a piece. I could have got $150, but I keep going to the same deli where I buy my breakfast, so they know better. They don't give me that much money. Fucking people. Now they got a fucking little flat screen TV in the corner of that was hiding the blind spot with a camera now. It's not as easy to do. You got to duck the fucking thing like you're dodging bullets or something when they scratch your ass when you go in that fucking store. It's crazy when you watch. They'll probably say, where the fuck are all the TVs going? Oh, the white guy, you got to fuck. I'm going to get a radio out there tomorrow. Yeah, I got two bags today. He let me go for $15. I used to get them 2 for $20. Say, yeah, fuck it, take them. He says, give me 17. I was like, give you the 2 hours later.
The next uptown.
Same guy I've been dealing with since 2002. I got three connections. One comes from Nassau County, Long Island. The other guy comes from Staten Island. And the other guy comes from a hotel down the street. And they all come to the same spot every day. They get there about 12:30. Sometimes 12 o'clock. You get lucky. Quiet down. This is a very odd hour. It's not rush hour. Nobody's going to work now. That's why you don't see people. It's too early. Everybody's sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're asleep.
Except for you and me.
Yeah, except for you and me. Imagine that.
Not really, but there was this one intense time. Okay, so I was walking around the supermarket, like a fancy one, with empty shopping bags, and I was putting things in them. I slipped baby wipes into this bag, but I noticed this guy saw me. Other shoppers see me all the time, by the way, but then he was looking at me all strangely, so I wasn't sure, but as I was looking around, I started seeing him in every damn aisle I was in, like every aisle, being weird. Not really shopping or anything, just picking things up off the shelves and looking at them. And I thought, okay, am I paranoid? But then he was always there. Whatever aisle I was in, he was right there. So I realized it had to be some undercover security or something, you know? So I started freaking out. I was sweating. So what I had to do was I had to start putting everything from the bag back on the shelves, but only when he couldn't see me. Basically, I had to unsteal everything. So he'd be in my aisle, and I would jump real quick into another aisle and put one of the things from the bag on the shelf. And then when he'd appear around the corner, I'd pretend to shop again. And then jump to another aisle. It was real cat and mouse, but I did it. I got every single thing out of my bag.
One day we'll be forgotten. One day we'll be forgotten.
So then I went with my shopping cart to checkout to pay for the stuff that I had left, sweating away. So I paid and I left. But when I got to the doors of the supermarket, there was that guy. And he stopped me and he said, "I'm undercover security and I need to look in your bags." "What's up?" I said to him, trying to be innocent or whatever. And he said he'd seen me putting baby wipes into my bag, but immediately I said, that's why you were following me. No, that was an accident. The baby wipes fell in there. I thought you were following me. It was weird. And inside, I am fucking shaking the whole time. Then he asked me to check my receipt in my bag, and it all matched. So what could he do? He let me go. But he did not believe me, I don't think. Man, it was really intense. It was really awful. But, you know, I haven't stopped. I expect to get caught every time I do it. Every time I walk into a store or a supermarket, I look around at everything and take in all the details, thinking, these will be the things I remember before my life changed.
They say the world is spinning around, but I see that it's upside down. They say the world is spinning around, I see that it's upside down. Walking down the street one day, just to pass the time away. Before he was a cute looking chick, eventually the name was Dick. They said the world is spinning around, yeah.
I'm talking about doing what, 20-minute, 30-minute radio spot shows. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that was 30 seconds of mediocre, and I was so excited to get that because that's probably the best thing I've got out field recording. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just saw the mountain rise.
It's a tall mountain. It's a tall mountain.
It's fucking huge.
You might have to be recording all the time.
I have to.
And that's exactly what I do. I do record all the time. And I take all those hours and hours and hours and weeks and months of stuff I've recorded and I make these little pieces that you hear. So this is Sinsmith Radio. It's all live recorded, all true non-fiction stuff that I compiled together and play to you every couple of weeks. That show is called John on Klepto Mountain. There's a lot about kleptomania, stealing, and that was my buddy Johnny at the end, so that's why it's John on Klepto Mountain. You also heard my buddy Rita and Maddie, who was doing the music there, and a cute little dude in the subway playing that Calypso little tune, and that other dude in the subway who I haven't seen again, who is probably still talking right now as we're here, and that was like 3 years ago. He's probably just, every time someone sits next to him, he just starts talking. Anyway, so that's the end of the show. These first three shows have been long. The pieces have been long, but from now on they're going to be a lot shorter, so I can take phone calls, which will be very exciting. So hopefully people will call up and, you know, abuse me and stuff. I'm really looking forward to it. And so I got to say thanks to my one listener, Kay. I went up to the bike shop today and saw about getting